So as we come back into our, or continue on in our series, we, if you're just joining us, we are in the eye of the storm. Did you know that? We are in the eye of the storm. So we're using the book called The Eye of the Storm by Gary Simmons, and we've got some fall study groups going. I think we still have some books in the bookstore, and he has some nice exercises. Three books left. Ann knows the exact count as our co-bookstore manager. So thank you, Ann. Yeah, so there's ways that you can still get engaged and maybe even join Mike's group. I don't know. He seems open to more. Yes? Tuesdays. Tuesdays at 2 right here. So anyway, there are lots of ways to plug in, and you're here for one of them this morning. So let's get on with it. We are talking about the four winds of conflict. And the, these are conditions that support conflict, and then healing those. And today is really the big one. This is, the, to me, the biggest wind of all. The biggest wind of all winds that gets us off our off track, and that is, and into the storm, and that is the wind of separation. So the next 4 weeks we'll look at what the wind is, and then what its antidote is to come into the eye of the storm. And so today we begin with separation and the process of healing separation. So in about 25 minutes, we're going to heal separation. Might as well just affirm it, right? Yeah, right. Unity co-founder Myrtle Fillmore said that developing a separation consciousness creates a problem we don't know how to deal with. Let's look specifically at what she says. Spirit is all. Where would you draw the line between spirit and the material when there is no evidence that God has placed such boundaries? We see spirit manifesting in the flesh, in the centers of consciousness, and in the organs of the body as expressions of energy and substance. If we make a separation in our consciousness, we shall have something that we do not know how to deal with. And yet, as humans, we have done exactly that. And we got a whole bunch of stuff that we look around and go, I don't know how we're going to deal with this. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, right? Right, anybody not relate to that? Exactly. So it is that when we create this, that the conflicts come, right? The things come because we have created this belief system of that we could possibly be separate. And we don't know how to deal with it because it's not our nature. We are a part of the indivisibility of spirit that is always connected. We are always connected to it. So in truth, it's not possible. So we have created something out of the realm of truth that seems like reality. And it's happened over many, 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 since the beginning of humanity, really. So when humans, our ancestors, our human ancestors came into this world, and for many generations after, I think because we are spiritual beings coming into a physical experience, it's a pretty big switch. And when we come into this world, we're enamored, right? If you think about an infant that suddenly discovers its hand, you know, it's just like, whoa. I mean, that is hours of entertainment. Or a foot and all those little toes, you know, sweet little tender feet. And then they discover that they're attached. It's like, wow, this is pretty cool, right? So we have this sort of reverie and enamored. We must be completely enamored with the world as it begins to come into focus. And we're really challenged. I mean, we're spiritual beings. We didn't have to worry about food and water and shelter and clothing. And suddenly, bam, here we are. And we got to figure it all out. So you imagine that we're pretty caught up in both being enamored with our physicality and challenged by our physicality. It's pretty easy to quickly forget where we've come from and who we are. And that then becomes the thing that we pass down generation after generation. A toddler was known once, this story goes, you might have heard before, that there was a toddler whose infant young sibling came home. And the toddler kept asking the parents, about 2 years old, if they could have time alone with the infant. And of course, the parents are very nervous about this. You know, what does the toddler want to do? And I'm not sure they can pick the baby up and so on. And so they kept trying to divert the toddler, and the toddler was insistent and kept bringing this up day after day. So finally they decided, okay, yes, you can have time alone with the baby. And so they put the baby in a crib, and they had the toddler go in the room. They left the door open, and they stood just outside the door. And immediately the toddler toddles up to the crib, as they do, and says, "Tell me about God. I'm starting to forget." And that's what happens, isn't it? We forgot where we came from. We forgot what we're made of. We forgot that we come from the birthplace of stars, that we're actually made of stardust. That's not a fantasy. Science backs that up. That we are part of, we are this light, this bright light. We are this shiny light. We are this warm and everlasting love, that we come from, literally from heaven, from the heavens, from the celestial, you know, beginning of birth, of time, of us. All of it together. So when we think about those things, it's sort of mind-blowing, right? I think that little emoji with the mind-blowing suddenly is in my mind. But it's that, it's, wow, yes, that's right. This is where we came from. This is what we're made of. And we have just simply forgotten. So when we forget, it's hard for us then to pass on to our children, and for us as children to receive somebody mirroring our divinity to us, because they don't remember enough of it. And so we get sort of half little bits and pieces of it, but we don't get the wholeness of it, so that we don't get the wholeness of us. And so it begins this ongoing process where we have caregivers and parents who can't be fully present for us, who aren't fully alive, who aren't fully in the moment, who aren't fully aware of who they are. So of course we learn from them, and so it goes generation after generation after generation. And so there's pain in that. And so what do we do to address the pain? Well, we create a bunch of ways the separation looks, right? We learn or feel that it's not safe to get close. It's not safe to be vulnerable. It's not safe to be totally innocent. So we've got to find a way to manage that, to move around that. And so in so doing, we create a bunch of stuff out of separation. This idea that we are separate from our experiences, we are separate from each other, we are separate from ourselves. And if we just can hold things a little bit at bay, we'll be okay. And it'll make our world a little bit easier just to kind of move around it like this, you know, instead of just whole. And so that's kind of what we're all doing, is sort of just bumping up against each other, right? And moving around. And we're doing the best we can. Not really, but we think we are. And then we wake up and we start doing the best we can. You know, so we are doing the best we can with what we've been given, but now we're given more. And as we return to those truths and the remembrance of those truths, then we have what we need to go, oh, right, now I'm starting to remember. Now I'm starting to wake up to who, now it's making sense, right? When we come into truth, doesn't it just suddenly go, oh, right, that's what home feels like. It feels good to be in this place. It feels good to be at peace. It feels good to be in a place where I know that ultimately all is well, where I know who I am and I know who you are. And if we can just settle into those moments and be there for a moment, we let it really seep into the cells of our being. And every time we have that experience, more and more of the memory of who we are comes back. And then we embody it more and more and more. And it feels right. This way of being does not feel right, but we don't know what else to really do. So we just keep moving around like that. I don't know where I got this, but I'm liking it. It feels right. It doesn't feel right, but it feels habitual. You know, it feels like, oh, this is the habit. Yeah, I got that. I got the muscle memory for that. I get that. And this feels like, oh, but this is it. You know, so it's that dropping in, it's that knowing, it's that remembrance. So what do we do out of separation consciousness? We avoid conflicts, we create conflicts, you know. We do all kinds of things to be in this I'm okay space, I'm in this safe place. And one of the things that Gary talks about is the codependence that we create then in order to feel safe and okay. And he calls it the depend dance. And in the depend dance, we put the burden of our well-being and our worth on the people around us. So do any of these ways work for us, all these things, these antics? How's it going for you, in other words? You know, we ask that, how's that working out for you? You know, that separation thing that we do in all the different ways that we do it, separated from ourselves, separated from each other, separated from our life experiences even. When we are connected to our wholeness, we misread the signals and assume people and life situations are against us. Remember in the first of the series, we talked about that. Nothing and no one is really against us, cannot be against us. But in separation consciousness, it seems like everything is, right? It can get that chaotic. So believing and acting from separation consciousness then supports our conflicts with others and keeps us at arm's length from our innate divinity. And when we do that, it keeps us at arm's length from the divine flow of life, from the ease of life happening through us and as us. We don't know how to deal with it, as Myrtle says, because it's not based on truth. Separation is a fabricated reality. She says, spirit is all. That means spirit is all, right? That's the truth. That's the truth that we come back into. We can't draw a line between the spiritual and the material, between the flesh and consciousness. So the only way to heal this faulty, illusionary idea of consciousness that we've created is to stop it and move back to center. Get out of the storm and into the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm, we can see. In the eye of the storm, we are calm. In the eye of the storm, we go, ah, right. This is the way it works. This is who I am. This is how I can recalibrate and shift and then express from a place of wholeness, from a place of oneness, rather than a place of separation. You know, the only difference between masters like Jesus, spiritual masters or spiritual teachers like Jesus and the other spiritual masters out there, is that they just didn't forget. They just remembered. They've remembered. I mean, maybe occasionally, because they're also embodied human being, occasionally they might forget, but get right back in, right? There's a constant memory of who they are. And we too can do this. Because the more we remember, the more we recognize that other stuff doesn't work for us, the more we live and dwell in this place, and pretty soon, we don't forget anymore. Or if we do, it's a momentary lapse, and we're right back into truth. And so it's that knowing, you know, when Jesus was in the storm, what did he say? Peace be still. And then the rest of that is often, and know that I am. And that's what happens for us. When you get caught up in the storms, when you're out there reading a lot of the news or you're in your own personal dramas and you're in the midst of that storm, you can just go, peace be still and know that I am. And everything shifts from there. And everything can shift for the other person too because they are in the presence of truth. And in the presence of truth, we all resonate with truth because we all want to be there. Whether we're conscious of it or not, we all want to be there. We all want peace and joy and love and ease and grace in our lives. None of us want chaos and difficulty and challenge and anger and being in the storms of that kind of stuff that goes on in our world. And we can notice it for ourselves, just get more and more clear while we're in the midst of storms around us, noticing where am I? Where am I in this? How do I feel? What's going on inside of me? What stories am I telling? You know, even while, you know, I often read the news on my phone, and so I'll get partway through an article, and then I'll just check in. And even though the journalist has hooked me in, I'll notice, like, how I'm feeling. Oh, this doesn't feel very good. I know enough now about this story, and move on, right? So if we can really take, you know, we want to be informed, so but take an approach to it where it's almost like, okay, I'm in the bubble of divine light now. I'm entering the news cycle. Right? So I have protected myself with a bubble of light because I want to be informed. But then just noticing, really noticing, allow yourself to keep your center while you are paying attention to what's happening. That way we don't get sucked into more separation consciousness, because that is what we are being spoon-fed. Here, have some separation, have some division, have some chaos. And we all go, oh, okay, we'll take that in all day. And then I'm, you know, feeling like this and I don't know why. It's like, because we need to take in this, the truth, the remembrance, the divinity, by praying, by taking time out of our day, by meditating, by, you know, and it doesn't have to be a big deal. I know some of us go, oh, I'm so busy. I never get to that. So just take a moment. In the moment, just go, oh, I just remembered. I haven't been meditating lately. Don't have a big story about beating yourself up about it. Okay, I'm going to meditate right now. Wow, that felt good. And then you move about your day. You know, that's it. It can be that simple. And really, I think it might be just as effective because it's moment by moment by moment through your day. So you're staying conscious. You're staying aware. Oh, I'm getting sucked into separation consciousness again. And let me instead move to truth, to oneness, to wholeness, to everything that I am and have come here to be. There are some healthy ways to work with separation. Actually, one way is for us to separate out our thoughts and feelings from our being. And so the thing is about thoughts and feelings, particularly feelings, I mean, feelings can arise out of thoughts, and then they, you know, thoughts get attached, and they kind of do this dance together, right? It's like the chicken and the egg, what came first? Doesn't really matter. They work together. So when we notice that something is arising, we can just do it like that. It's just arising, right? Oh, anger is arising. Let me ride the wave of anger. You know how long scientists say an emotion lasts? 90 seconds. So let's just ride the wave. So that's what's present. Anger is present. Okay, I'm going to ride the wave of anger. Feel everything that's in there and just let myself be fully in it, right? For 90 minutes, you know, it's just like my top is seconds, not 90 minutes. Thank you. You're paying attention. This is good. Not 90 minutes. No, 90 seconds. Yeah. Because what happens instead, right, is the emotion starts, and we're 2 seconds in, and a story starts. And then, whoo, and then we blow that up a little bit more, and then another, you know. So instead, if we're paying attention, it's just like, oh, there's the rising and falling of anger. How cool. I get to experience that. And in 90 seconds, it's over. And that's it, done. And then we move on with our day. So it can be that easy. It can be that simple. And it can become easy as we practice, and easier still. So letting ourselves separate out that the feelings and the thoughts, they're things that move through us, they aren't us. So we're going to separate our beingness from what is falling and rising. And that can be very helpful to us. Another thing that can be very helpful is just taking all the little pieces and parts that we've cast out throughout the day, all the places we've gone today, all the people we've talked to, all the things that we've been involved in. And at the end of our day, we can remember, recalibrate all those things, bring all the little pieces of us that have been scattered around back home. So Alexandra de Avalon led us through a meditation. She was trained at the Chopra Institute. And when we came together for the women's retreat recently, she led us through a meditation, and she talked about this technique for sleeping. So if you have any issues with sleeping, she says, from what she learned, try this. That you take a moment as you're lying down and you're ready to go to sleep, and you start with the beginning of your day. oh, that's right. Okay, so I got up and I went and did this and I went, and you're starting to remember pieces of yourself, right? And then I went out and I went here and I drove there and I walked there, and then you bring that back, right? As you remember it, you're recalling it home, and you're bringing yourself back together, and it relaxes you so much you go to sleep. It's really cool. So that's the, you know, these kinds of simple techniques, ways we can recognize that there is maybe some scattering of ourselves. The divine says in Matthew, whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so if we keep scattering our energy through our experiences, through our interactions, through our not remembering who we are, and we're all over the place, it's a gathering back, right? Whoever does not gather with me scatters. As we regather, as we return, as we commune with spirit, we come back and we then don't feel so scattered, so fragmented anymore. Communion is the eye of the storm. It is the eye of the storm of separation. So separation's going on all around in the storm, and there we go in the center, and we're in communion. Communion with spirit, communion with truth, communion with each other. And what? How do we do that? All the different ways that we know to do: meditation, prayer, movement, time in nature, whatever it is for you that brings you back to center, do more of that. I am one, I am whole. That's what we know when we are in that place. I cannot be separated. I cannot be separated from life. That's what we know when we're in that place. I cannot be separated from humanity. It's not possible when we're in that place, because it all rings true. And then we get in there and we're in that sweet spot and we're in this blissful place, and something happens and we forget, right? It just happens. And then suddenly we start to think, well, something's missing. And then this is where we really make the mistake. We start looking out there. Well, if only I can attract the right person into my life to be in relationship, then I will feel whole. Well, if only I can find the right and perfect job, then I will feel whole. The right and perfect home, you name it, right? If I could only go on the perfect vacation, everything will be just right once again. And while all those things in our lives are part of our human experience and they are beautiful companions to the journey, it's the mistake we made of thinking something is missing in here and I must fill it by grabbing something out here. But it's here, inside here, that we do that work, and then whatever we attract in our lives is a great joy that doesn't have to complete us, because we know we are already complete. So we are whole beings then moving around, attracting other whole beings, other whole experiences, other experiences that are going to keep giving us more of the truth. And then pretty soon we have in our lives the kinds of mirrors of our divinity that we always longed for as children. And then we become it as adults. And we change the whole trajectory of humanity because we start mirroring divinity to the people around us and to the next generation. And then they grow up knowing their worth, knowing their wholeness, knowing their oneness, and we change the entire world. That's it. That's what we're up to. That's what we're about. It's big stuff. It really is big stuff, you know? I mean, do you really recognize that? Like, when we say we are co-creating with spirit, our third principle, when we talk about the law of attraction and co-creating, if you really, like, get that for a minute, what we're doing, it's like, whoa, really? Gary says, being connected to life, to others, and yourself means embracing each moment as if life depended on it. And it does. life, with a capital L, depends on it. It depends how you respond to the person who just said something nasty to you. It depends. Life itself depends on how you choose to move through your day, what you choose to say, how you choose to show up. Life, we are co-creating life in that moment. We have the opportunity to say, yes, God, I remember who I am. I'm going to be that truth. Or we can go, no, I'm going to create a bunch more of that stuff that's out in the world. Whew, thank you, God. Might have been hearing about that for a while. You know, it's a lot like I got to participate in something called a Dream Star Council, where in the early morning of the retreat, we all got together and we literally laid so that our heads were together in the middle, so we were creating a star, and we just spoke out loud our dreams. And so everybody's dreams, it was so amazing because the dreams started weaving together like they were one dream. And that's how we are living. That's what we've created as a humanity. We all put our heads together and we created a dream of separation because we didn't know how to do it differently, but now we do. And so we can put our heads together and we can create a different dream. It's so good. You know, what we can create, children could grow up knowing their own worth from the get-go. From the beginning, they wouldn't have to go begging from other infants to tell me about it because these folks don't know. Because we would know, and so they will know. And all that pain can be avoided, and all that suffering could be avoided because we know now who we are, and we can teach the next generation. And the next generation, and the next generation. When we put our heads together and we recreate a dream, that dream is a dream that feeds everybody's truth. Jesus describes this coming home to truth in us, this coming home into oneness consciousness as the kingdom of heaven. And he tells it in parables. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden out in a field. And when a man finds it, he quickly hides it again. And in his joy, he goes home, he sells everything, and he goes back and buys that field. And then just in case you're not a gardener, he tells another one for the shoppers among us. And he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who's looking for fine pearls. And when he finds the one of greatest value, he sells everything else so he can buy that one precious pearl. When we come into the truth, that's what it's like. We come home to oneness. We come home to wholeness. And we say, I've arrived in the kingdom of heaven. Get rid of everything else. Everything else that I've ever learned that is about separation and chaos and conflict and criticism and blame and all that stuff. Just cut it away, give it away, sell it, because now I have the pearl. Now I know the truth. Now I remember who I am. Now I know, and I can put my head together with a bunch of other humans, maybe 7 billion of them, and create a different dream. Because I am a co-creator of life. This is what we're up to. Are you ready for it? Are we in? All right, let's do it. Let's commune with the divine so we can once and for all heal separation consciousness, stop manifesting from that place, and know the truth that we are whole and we are one. Let's say it together. Through communion with the divine, I heal separation consciousness and stop unwanted manifestations. I am whole. I am one. Thank you.